are you drinking?
Are you roasting me on how I drink water now? What's going on?
Are you sure it's water? You've been taking sips every 5 seconds, I feel.
Okay, it's a tequila. It's a little thing I've been working on. Yeah, no, absolutely not. Honestly, I'm probably the one who would have the least interesting thing in my cup. I don't drink often. Don't drink coffee. I don't drink tea. So either you're going to catch me with a water. I don't even drink carbonated beverages, sugary beverages. So either you're catching me with a water or like a really elaborate smoothie. It's one of the two, man.
Oh my gosh.
This is what 30 years old looks like. All right.
Is this a health podcast? Like, we don't need these hydration tips. Meanwhile, I'm about to go on a long kind of, it's not a rant. It's the opposite of a rant, actually, about how I've been getting back into Coke Zero recently. Shout out Coke Zero. I don't know what it is. I haven't had pop or soda in decades. And here I am. I'm a Coke Zero person now.
What I feel like, I don't think we could be more irrelevant for the audience. If we're thinking there's going to be a lot of students listening to this, probably on the way to some sort of party, and we're out here, you on Coke Zero is like your big, crazy new thing, and I'm drinking water.
Yeah. Wait. First of all, who is listening to a business podcast right before they're heading to a party? Not everybody's you, okay? Like, not everybody's you in university, you know, really squeezing in as much insight and learning from a podcast like you were.
Hey, that's what I'm going to be honest. That's all we had to do at Schulich. So there wasn't too many options there. But it's actually a good segue because this episode we've been talking is supposed to be a mini episode, something that someone can listen to on the way to that party or between classes. It's not a full hour long. These are meant to be 10 minutes. So that's a good segue because I can kind of go into what we're trying to do with this one. For those who listen to the pod frequently, they know that every few weeks we have these longer form episodes with these incredible guests. To complement that, we thought it would be interesting to also create bite-sized content that provides very tactical advice for business students and new grads. So we created this mini-series that we're calling the Cheat Sheet. Last time, the topic we tackled was how do you survive the dreaded networking circle? If I remember correctly, JP, you said, if there's 9 circles of hell, the networking circle is the 10th. I know we talked about, hey, it could be daunting, it could be pretty dreadful, but it is also an incredible opportunity to learn from some industry professionals, and it could serve as a launching pad for long-lasting connections. It's all kind of how you think about the experience, and you know, if you think about it in the right way, it could be an incredible opportunity. Today, we're actually going to tackle another question that we get a lot from students, which is around the cold reach out. So today's episode is how to warm up a cold reach out. Now, if you think it's daunting to go in a networking circle and talk to people you don't know, imagine reaching out to them on LinkedIn or email where you have literally no connection. We've all been there, and you and I are literally doing this every week for the podcast, reaching out to people we haven't met yet. So today we're going to be sharing our top 5 tips on how to make the most of a cold reach out.
Yeah, the only thing that I'd say, because we're speaking as if we're experts on this topic. Certainly I'm not. This is still something that makes me nervous up to this day. Reaching out to somebody, let alone on LinkedIn, somebody in the office that I have never met before, it still makes me a little bit nervous. So just know that we're in this together. This is something that never really goes away, but with a little bit of thoughtful planning and with some tips that Jeeves and I have come across along the way, hopefully this is something that can help remove some of that fear or that nervousness potentially.
Yeah, I don't know about you, man. I don't miss anyone I reach. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. The amount of
I want receipts. If we did it to the LinkedIn inbox, I'm sure.
No, the receipts do not look good at all. So that actually leads us to tip one, which is it is a numbers game. It's okay to miss. And that is just more of a headspace thing that I think we all need to remember. I'm a huge basketball fan. So the analogy I would use is you need to be prepared to shoot like 2 for 10 from the field. And that's completely okay. If you think about it, the people you're reaching out to, they don't know you. They're incredibly busy. More often than not, you're just going to be lost in their inbox on LinkedIn or on email. And so you cannot take it to heart and feel like that personally reflects poorly on you. In reality, people are getting inundated with literally hundreds or thousands of messages every single day, and it probably just got lost. So just remember that it's a numbers game. And then the other thing I would say is, though people are super busy, they are inclined to help. If you mention that you're a student or a new grad and that you want to learn, they will be more inclined to help than you would expect. And so just remember to keep that in mind.
All right. So the second one, second tip, it's important and it's actually more effective as well to have a little bit of intention. And there's a couple of strategies here. I think first and foremost, resist the urge to reach out to somebody for the first time if you see a job posting or if your main intention is to look for a job. I can't count enough times when I've been reached out to when just because my company's hiring, not even in the function that I'm in, where somebody just sends me notes like, hey, I see that we're a connection or you're a second degree connection to me and your company is hiring. Can you meet with me? That's fine. That's abundantly transparent on what you're trying to do. But your success rate in making that connection with somebody is going to be much, much lower. Just to build on that, sometimes the person that you have in mind shouldn't actually be your first point of contact. So here's an example. You might have a team at a company that you are desiring to work with, but they might be 6 degrees away from where you're at right now. And actually, a strategy there might be to reach out to somebody who is maybe a little bit further in, somebody who graduated a few years ago, a peer, a family friend who has a connection to that person and going about that way. Again, it's about increasing your chances of making that connection to your desired endpoint. But sometimes it's not a one-to-one. You got to go to one to two other people to get there.
It's a great tip. I can't tell you how many times I'll get reached out to by someone and then I'll chat with a few other people and they're like, oh, that person also reached out to me. And they just kind of mass message like 8 people. And you'd be surprised, like people chat and it shows one great thing is like, oh, this person's really eager and willing to learn. But on the flip side, you know, they might not have been as intentional with the individuals that they were reaching out to. I'd say the next tip is just around custom tailoring that message. For the love of God, please don't use a cookie cutter template where you just like insert name here and insert why you want to talk to them. Try to personalize as much as possible. Show that you've done the research on not only their company, but also them. And be very clear on why you want to meet with them specifically. And it's not enough to say, hey, Jeevan, you work at General Mills. I'm really interested in General Mills and this job posting that I just saw. But it's, hey, I noticed, for instance, you've done this variety of marketing roles. And I'd love to hear about how you kind of made those jumps and, you know, what advice you would have to someone looking to make those sort of jumps as well. Show that you've done the research. And again, just make sure it doesn't come across as this is some short-term transactional message. And it's more about this person's actually really curious and learning about what it is that I do and they want to learn from me. Because that's when you'll get a higher likelihood of someone actually wanting to respond and support you.
For sure. Google is your friend in this case. Also try to think outside of doing a little bit of research outside of what you see on LinkedIn in terms of what they've done. You might find some fun tidbits. Maybe they have a YouTube channel. Maybe they post on Twitter. Maybe you have a connection through your school and they've done, you know, for example, if you search for Jeevan, I'm sure you're going to find some case competitions he's done or his time with the York Marketing Association as a co-president. There's lots of really great information that you can find about somebody just by searching a little bit deeper.
Yeah, just don't make it creepy. It's like, hey, Jeevan, I know you. You normally go to this park at 7 p.m. on Sunday.
I've been tracking your movements in the last 3 weeks, and I noticed that you really like Chipotle. Oh, and this is your order. Are you allergic to this?
No, then it's a restraining order. Then we're talking restraining order. Like, you will get a response, but it'll be in the form of a legal response. Yes.
All right, next tip. So let's say you get a response back for them. Amazing. You've got an engaged person on the other side. Try to remove as many barriers on the logistics of the meeting as much as possible. So what does this mean? Your job is to make it as low stress and reduce, again, the opportunity for them to say no. Ask for only 15 minutes instead of a 30-minute meeting. Offer as much flexibility on your time, on location. Tell them you'll meet where they're at. Give them options of virtual versus the phone versus in person. Maybe a walk, whatever it is. But it's in your best interest to be as flexible as possible because they are giving you their time. And it'll show that you are not just taking this as 1 out of 100 people that you reach out to. You're engaged with them and want to make a meeting with them work.
Yep. And to your point, the 15 minutes seems like not a long time, and it isn't. And so the 15 minutes is just more of like that foot in the door. Like, no one's going to say no to 15 minutes, but once you're on the call, I guarantee you it'll go 30, it'll go 45, it'll go even longer, especially if the call is going really well. So I think that's a great tip. And then finally, you've reached out. Hopefully that person has actually responded. you've met with them, just remember to follow up. Again, you'd be surprised how many kind of one-off conversations you will have, and that person won't follow up. So just be mindful of the things that they're mentioning in that call. So for instance, if I were to tell that person, oh, I'm working on this new campaign and it's launching in early February, if you actually see it in market, don't hesitate to shoot me a message. Be like, hey, I saw the campaign you mentioned. Thanks again for taking the time so I could learn more about it. Amazing to see it in market. People would be very surprised if you kind of connect the dots back to the original conversation. So just remember to follow up and keep that relationship going, especially if you had a really good first call.
I remember there's this one conversation that I had with somebody who was looking for advice as a student. And I had mentioned something about a trip that I was going on. And it was a very small piece of like, oh, I'm going on a trip next week and here's where I'm going, et cetera. And that person followed up with me with some advice of where, like one place that they had gone to or they had heard about. And that was a small moment of connection that I found really interesting and actually drew me again to reach out. And so take copious amounts of notes. You never know what's going to spark. And yep. I think it's just the power of just connecting with them on a human at a first base level.
Yeah, yeah. And to your point as well, last thought, there might not be specific things that you can follow up on that call. It could be something more generic. You could have chatted with them in early December. Maybe shoot them a New Year's message. I know certain things like that go such a long way for people. And I think that brings us to the end. So five tips here. First one, it's a numbers game, and remember that. And even though it's a numbers game, there are things that you can do to improve your odds. So number two, be very intentional with who you're actually reaching out to. Number three, custom tailor that message for that individual. Number four, remove as much friction as possible from setting up that intro call or meeting. And then finally, follow up. Pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
Should we be following our own advice?
I think so. This is just reminders that we put on a sticky note to tell ourselves, and hopefully it's useful to you too. But just get out there, type some messages up, draft it, show it to a friend, get them to edit it, and just send a few messages out and give it a shot.
Yep.
You know, you got to shoot your shot, as Jeevan said.
Yeah. Or you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Dwayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. I think
I don't.
Oh, sorry. That was an option. Never mind. All right. That brings us to the end. We'll see you in the next one.
Take care.